This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
25 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning on TSN Radio 1290.
Rage against the Mindell.
Yes, most people do. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg.
You know, people on the podcast, though, sorry to cut you off. I always cut both of you off, I guess. But on the podcast, they're not going to hear the music. So when I said Rage Against the Mindell, people are going to have no idea what I'm talking about. If you're listening live, you're going
to
know.
If they've listened to the show for long enough, they know that you just usually rage against the Mindell, regardless of what the intro music is.
And also that I make no sense on a regular basis.
That goes without saying. It is Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day tonight. The Jets and the Predators do battle at Bell MTS Place, a game you can hear live on this fine radio station. But on Monday night, the Jets are going to be playing host to their Central Division rival, the Dallas Stars. And for that, we go to the Hockey Show Hotline. And we're pleased to welcome back to the program our very good friend from the DallasStars.com, Mike Hyka, covers the Stars. Mike, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hello, lads. How are you?
Doing very well, Mike. How about yourself?
Peachy.
That's good. Peachy's a good way to be. Obviously, the Stars are going to face the Jets for the final time this regular season on Monday night. I put emphasis on regular season because given the way things are shaking out in the Central Division and in the Western Conference, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that these two teams will meet in the playoffs. Dallas playing some pretty good hockey as of late, 6-3-1 in their last 10. They're 4 points up. They hold the first wild card spot. They're only 4 points behind the St. Louis Blues for third in the Central Division. You know, from on the ground in Dallas, what has sort of been the catalyst that has improved this team's fortunes as of late?
They're just more consistent. I mean, that's what they've been seeking all year, is consistency. They've had problems with getting outshot quite a bit. And for the last pretty much 8-9 games, they've been on the better side of the shot totals. I think 3 of the last 4, they've had 40-plus shots. Now, they've lost some of those games, but they're a better overall product right now. The only real problem is they're a hard scoring team, 29th in the league, and you know that's a problem. They need to score more goals.
You know, Mike, obviously the Stars are in tough just to make the playoffs right now. They've got a nice little, you know, 3-point cushion on the Minnesota Wild, and they've got the 4-point cushion on the Avalanche and the Arizona Coyotes, and they also have a game in hand on the Wild. But obviously, a huge game coming up tonight versus the Pittsburgh Penguins, and another big one, as Drew mentioned, on Monday night in Winnipeg against the Jets. But when you talk about those goal-scoring woes, I mean, on the flip side, they've been an excellent defensive team this year, and Ben Bishop had, obviously, the shutout streak, and I think you would agree that he's had a very underrated season in net. But is that the only way that the Stars are going to win a first-round series, is if Ben Bishop really steals a couple of games?
I think at first glance, yes, right now, that is the way they're going to win. If you look behind the scenes and say, you know, Blake Como scored 15 goals last year, and Andrew Cogliano's a 12 to 15 goal scorer, and Jason Spezza still has some offensive potential, and Roope Hintz and Joel L'Esperance and Jason Dickinson are all coming on, then, you know, the hope is that they will get depth scoring at some point this season. They have not gotten it yet in, you know, 70-some-odd games. So there is that outside chance that, you know, a hero comes out of nowhere because, you know, they're getting scoring chances. Roope Hintz is playing really well right now. Joel L'Esperance has 29 goals in the AHL, is really close to scoring goals at the NHL level. Val Nichushkin, who is just the oddest story of the year with zero goals, is getting all sorts of scoring chances and just can't seem to break through. So in a perfect world, they still could outscore a team if these guys could simply convert some of these grade A chances they're getting.
You know, Mike, we always expect rookies to hit a wall at some point in an 82-game season, but Miro Heiskanen appears to be avoiding that. How has he done it this season?
I think stride, he's very efficient. He's, you know, we say 19, you know, that you'd hit the wall, but he's also 19 years old, so he's in prime athletic condition, and he's just smart. He has really good hockey sense, and so he anticipates plays, he puts himself in good positions, he doesn't take hits. And so he's been really good in that manner. He is 18th in the league right now in total minutes played for a 19-year-old. So that's he's been really good in eating up the minutes and spitting them back out. Rick Bonus, veteran coach, who Coach Tedman, some other really good European defensemen, he says he doesn't see him hitting the wall.
Mike Hyka is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Mike covers the Dallas Stars for DallasStars.com. The Jets and the Stars on Monday night at Bell MTS Place, a game you can hear live on TSN Radio 1290. Mike, you know, Andrew Cogliano was brought in from the Anaheim Ducks, you know, in exchange for Devon Shore, and that sort of happened when both teams were going through a little bit of a lull earlier in the season. It was one of those classic, you know, maybe shake up the room kind of moves. He hasn't put up the numbers on the scoreboard with only 3 points, but how has Cogliano looked as a member of the Dallas Stars?
One, he's very fast, and that's been helpful in the Stars, you know, kind of getting to this place right now where they're out shooting teams 40 to 30 a lot of games. The Stars are playing a much faster game than they were playing earlier in the season. And two, he's a veteran leader. I think, you know, guys like him and Como and Pollock, I know the fans get frustrated sometimes with the fact that the Stars don't develop their kids as well as they should and give up on them sometimes in order to bring in more veteran leaders. But I do think it's been important, especially with a rookie head coach, to have guys like Como and Pollock and Cogliano around. I will say this, Andrew gives you 100% every single shift, and he's as frustrated that he's not scoring as anybody. And again, you go back to the, you know, the theory that maybe 1, 2, 5 of these guys will break through at some point. He's one of them too.
Mike, do you think you mentioned Jim Montgomery there, and you know, as you mentioned, he's a rookie head coach, you know, after a really good career as the coach of the University of Denver. And do you think he gets enough credit for what he's done with this team this year? Because we know what's happened this year with the whole controversy with Jim Light's comments about the Stars' star players, and you know, they've had their lulls in the season, but you know, he's got them. The Stars have allowed the second least goals in the entire league. I mean, that's really impressive, but do you think he's getting enough credit? I mean, there's a lot of coaches around the league that are favored to win the Jack Adams. Barry Trotz is right up there. Bill Peters is right up there. John Cooper. But you don't really hear Jim Montgomery's name a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting debate. The guys who are really, you know, Jack Adams candidates or finalists or whatever, I think they've earned that position. What I like about what Jim has done is that this is not the team I think he envisioned. So he wanted to go in with a hard forecheck, with, you know, a really relentless team, even a more physical team, I think, than he has on the ice right now. In his mind, I think he pictured this being different at this point in the season. And yet he's adjusted to what he has, what the team's strengths have been this season, and has produced a pretty good unit on the ice right now. And I do think there's something to be said for that, that you come in with a plan, you adjust your plan, and it's not exactly what your vision is, but you've still produced a pretty good team. I do agree. That's a really good coaching job. One of the things that's interesting is that he is all over the map with his line changes. He likes to coach. He loves to coach inside a game and make adjustments that way. So I think, you know, those are things that the jury's still out on, whether he's pushing the right buttons in making the line adjustments that he likes to make. So that, you know, that's one of the criticisms I think people have for him. But yeah, I really do think that, you know, where they are right now, the identity that they have, the fact I think they could really be a difficult out in the playoffs, you know, mainly because of the goaltending and because of the defensive structure of the team. Those are things he really does need to get credit for.
You know, Mike, we see the Texas Stars and the Manitoba Moose, the AHL affiliates of both the Jets and the Stars, doing battle, trying to fight for that fourth and final playoff spot. Texas obviously has been, Dallas, sorry, has been relying on Texas of late. Do you see any players that they could still call upon down in the AHL if they need to be?
Dennis Gurianov, I think, is the number one. Right now, they've got Zuccarello and Pitlick, you know, aim to come back. So I actually think there's a chance Joel Lesperance might go back to the AHL as well. So we'll see. I mean, both Zuccarello and Pitlick are dealing with arm-hand injuries, and so how they adjust in the final 2 weeks of the season will be a huge deal. I mean, obviously they want Zuccarello back just for that two periods he had was so fantastic. So it's interesting to look at that balance. I think Dennis Gurianov's done a good job. The other thing the Stars just did is they added four, I think, minor leaguers that they just are not, you know, they brought in from the college ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're an interesting, the Texas Stars are an interesting team because, one, they went to the AHL Finals last year, and two, I think they're getting more bodies in there and they're getting better. So it's interesting. Gurianov would be the one guy, I think, who they could call up. But I just don't see that happening because of the depth they have right now. I think Valmichushkin was a healthy scratch last game, so they've got an extra forward around. Jason Spezza has been a healthy scratch. So I just don't think they're going to be calling anyone up from the AHL, especially if Zuccarello and Pitlick can come back and jump into the lineup in the next week or two.
Mike Hyka covers the Dallas Stars for DallasStars.com. Mike, appreciate your time. I hope to see you in the arena on Monday night.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
It'll be fun.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. It's funny because you look at the numbers. I really do think they're going to play Winnipeg in the first round. I just think the odds are pointing us in that direction.
Mike, we're putting that on the board, by the way.
Guaranteed by Mike Hyka.
Strong prediction.
There you go. That leads us perfectly into our next segment, Mike, where we will discuss the potential for a Jets-Stars first-round battle. Thanks for joining us this morning, Mike.
All right, talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're part of Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets Game Day. When we come back, more on the Jets and their first-round potential matchups. And, of course, we get an injury update from Jets head coach Paul Maurice as he just addressed the media ahead of the Jets game tonight against the Predators. You're listening to Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets Game Day on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Line at least for Meyer. Myers will take it to the net. Myers around and it scores! Tyler Myers, when you're 6'7" and you have a long stick, that wraparound maybe is a little easier than it is for others. And Tyler Myers gives the Jets their first lead of the afternoon, his fourth of the year.
That was from back earlier this season when the Jets defeated the Dallas Stars on home ice. The Jets 1-2 against the Stars this season, the Stars winning both games in Dallas, the one right before the player break and then the second game of the season, the Jets having more success on home ice. As things stand, you know, with about 10 or so games left in the regular season, not even that many, 8 games left in the regular season, the Jets and the Stars looking like a very possible first-round playoff matchup, particularly so if the Jets end up winning the Central Division. The Pacific Division champions, be they the Flames or the Sharks, are likely to get the bottom wild card team. The Stars have a bit of a buffer atop the wild card positions. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Saturday morning here on TSN Radio 1290. We're part of Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets Game Day. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you in studio. We'll get to the question of who is a more ideal or a more preferred first-round playoff matchup for the Winnipeg Jets momentarily. Quick, an update from Paul Maurice ahead of tonight's contest against the Nashville Predators. Dustin Byfuglien and Josh Morrissey both skated on their own this morning. Coach Paul Maurice says Byfuglien is closest of the two to return. Could be in morning skates and practices shortly. That's a tweet from Mike McIntyre. Laurent Brossoit got good news in testing, per Coach Paul Maurice. Just listed as day-to-day. Connor Hellebuck was playing tonight and Monday anyways, says Maurice. And based on Paul Maurice's comments, this is again from Mike McIntyre, I'd expect to see Dustin Byfuglien back playing games before the end of the regular season, but likely not Josh Morrissey until playoffs. Maurice says they will not rush Morrissey, and they will be very careful with him. Those three tweets, courtesy of Mike McIntyre.
That's big news, right? Because we thought there was a good chance that Morrissey was going to come back for those last four games, that road trip, right? Mm-hmm. Because the timeline was always early April, so we didn't expect to see Morrissey obviously on this four-game homestand, Dave, but we thought that, you know, we might see Morrissey in one of those last four games. You were hoping that it was going to be all four of those games. So, you know, not good news for Morrissey, but obviously, you know, the expectation is he should be healthy for game one of the first round.
I think it will be, it's more important for Bufflin to get games back because his body, his injury was a lower body injury, an ankle injury, something in that vicinity. And he really hasn't played in 2019, you know, any significant to speak of. He needs to get.
Well, Bufflin's only played, what has he played, 36 games this year?
Something like that. He's been injured.
37
since,
games?
You know, early in the season.
He came back, played.
He's missed more games
again,
than he's
so.
Played.
Yeah. I mean, so I think with Bufflin to get confidence in the lower body injury, confidence in the ankle, confidence to sort of be himself and not have a setback like he had, or you know that he's had throughout his struggles in 2019 is more important for Josh Morrissey. We know Morrissey's is an upper body injury, and we saw that, you know, the speculation being that's a shoulder injury or something along those lines. We saw with Nikolaj Ehlers when he was able to come back in the lineup after his shoulder injury, he didn't miss a beat. With Bufflin, who's been out for so long, I think it's important he gets more regular season games than necessarily Morrissey does.
Actually, it's ironic because I'm pretty sure Ehlers today quote said he hasn't been the same since. You know, since he came back. But I think
he's never going to be the same.
That's my point.
Until the offseason.
I agree with what you're saying, though, Drew. His skating was obviously the same and that sort of thing. But it was funny because that was his. I think he's just knowing that this is an opportunity, knowing that he's going up to the top line to get his game going offensively.
Right. And even if Morrissey's not able to get any regular season games, which obviously it looks like he isn't, and Buff is able to get in, you know, whether it's 3 games, 4 games, whatever it is, 2 games, I mean, you want these guys healthy.
Sure.
For the first round. And you know, we expect a nice long playoff run for the Jets. So obviously, you know, if Morrissey misses game one or game two, it's not going to cripple the Jets, but you want him healthy. I mean,
you're going to need Josh Morrissey.
It's been a very tough situation. You've had players, you know, we talked about Ben Sherratt, but you've had players like Sammy Nikku and Nathan Beaulieu play key roles for this team. I mean, Beaulieu went right on the top line, top pair with Trouba, and you know Sammy Niku's been paired up with Ben Sherratt there on the right side. But you know Buff and Morrissey are the Jets' two best defensemen. So if they are going to go on a long run, I mean their health really is going to be paramount.
Yeah, I agree, Ez. And I think the fact is though that generally, obviously, you want these guys to get in. But I think to Drew's point, I agree that you want these guys more important that have them healthy. It's not like they need the games to, you know, not have the butterflies in their stomach in terms of the playoffs. No. These guys obviously have sufficient experience, obviously, especially Dustin Bufflin, but even Josh Morrissey, that it's not really a significant concern. It's not a crazy stage. These guys are fine with that. So I think you remove that, it's more just a function of having their bodies up to game speed. So I think obviously it's preferable, but you want these guys healthy.
Absolutely. Worth pointing out from the Nashville Predators perspective for tonight, looks like Cody McLeod is going to be in the lineup for the Predators tonight, which might explain to some degree the Matt Hendricks addition to the Jets lineup with Roslovic out.
They fought five times.
Yes. They fought twice last year, you know, for courtesy of our buddy Scott Billick reminding us of that.
Back in the day, Cody would have a couple of good scraps with number 22, Chris Thorburn.
He's had 8 scraps with Thorburn.
Yep. Which is Cody McLeod and Chris Thorburn.
These are all from Scott Billick.
Good Manitoba boy.
There you go. Anyways, so that could explain why, you know, both teams loading up on the size with McLeod and then with Hendricks into the lineup tonight.
Let's talk about the Stars and the Avalanche, Drew, because, I mean, you mentioned those two teams as possible first-round opponents for the Jets. And
yeah.
I wouldn't discount the Minnesota Wild or the Colorado Avalanche. You talk about a buffer for the Stars. I mean, Minnesota has a game in hand, and they're only 3 points back.
Dallas has a game in hand on the Minnesota Wild.
Sorry, but you're talking about 3 points.
Talking about 3 points.
So right now, as it stands, Calgary or San Jose plays Minnesota, and the Jets play the Stars. But it's not unrealistic to expect the first round matchup to be Colorado or Minnesota. And by the way, if I'm the Jets, the one team I don't want to play is Dallas.
So of all the teams that the Jets could potentially play in the first round, you know, the Blues, if the Jets were to fall into second spot, the Stars, I mean, you can throw in the Wild, the Avalanche, you can even throw the Coyotes in there as well. They're only a point behind the Wild. You're saying that Dallas, in your mind, Ezzy, would be the team they least want to play?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about, the Blues are up there as well, but I was more so talking about the Stars versus the Avalanche
and
the Wild.
You're saying if the Jets finish first.
Exactly. I'm assuming the Jets win the Central Division. And obviously, you know, Nashville is only a couple of points back.
Yeah.
So, tonight's game has a big impact on that. Exactly. They could tie it up with one more game played. But when you're talking about the Stars, I mean, we just talked to Mike Hajka about this. The Stars are a very stingy defensive team. Yes, they're a bit of a top-heavy team. After Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Alex Radulov, they don't have a lot of offense. I mean, a guy like Rupe Hintz has come in there and he's provided a little bit of offense, and they're going to get a big boost. We talked about this off-air, but when Matt Zuccarello comes back And remember, he got injured that first game with the Stars.
Second period.
I think he scored a goal that game, too, right?
He had a goal and an assist in the first period and then broke his hand in the second period.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's going to come back. I mean, Matt Zuccarello is a very good offensive player, a really good left winger. So he slots in nicely either on the top line or the second line, right, Dave? So, I mean, obviously the Jets don't want to play the Blues, but I don't think they want to play the Stars either. And we talk about matchups.
Dallas doesn't score, and they don't give up anything. I mean, that's what they are. They are like the Kings or the Ducks have been in past years when they were good, is they were stingy and they didn't have a ton of offense. And that's Dallas this year. I think they're, 29th in the NHL in goals for, something like that, right towards the bottom.
If there's one team out of those four that I would want to play, it's Colorado, simply because Colorado is not a good defensive team. I mean, they're a good offensive team. They're going to get Gabe Landeskog back eventually. Mm-hmm. I don't know when he would come back in the first round. But when you're talking about Dallas or Minnesota, I mean, we know, guys, what the Jets can do against the Wild. I think, especially with some of the injuries the Wild have, they're depleted right now. No Mikko Koivu, right? I think if the Jets and Wild play in the first round, I think you're taking the Jets all day long. I mean, why wouldn't you take the Jets in five or six games,
right? Similar to last year where the Wild were banged up and they had sort of a ceiling to their success level. And, you know, the question was, can Devin Dubnyk steal something? You know, to your point, as you're talking about Colorado being, you know, if you look at the goaltending matchup, which goalie do you trust the least?
Right.
And you would trust Semyon Varlamov less than you would Ben Bishop. You would trust Semyon Varlamov less than you would trust Devin Dubnyk. And I mean, let's be honest.
And the Wild also wouldn't have Matt Dumba, one of their top defensemen, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, the Dallas Stars are actually playing as good of hockey among the Central Division teams as anyone. They're 6-3-1 in their last 10. The Jets are 6-4 after they had that 4-game winning streak. Nashville is, you know, scuffling. The Blues are sort of scuffling. I mean, the Wild and the Avs are just, you know, just average teams trying to, you know, get into the playoffs. So, I mean, I understand your point about a Dallas Stars team that doesn't give up a lot and doesn't score a lot could be a dangerous matchup. Ben Bishop with a .930 save percentage this season.
He's in the Vezina conversation, absolutely. I think you're fooling yourself if you don't think Ben Bishop is in the Vezina conversation. But when you're talking about the Colorado Avalanche and the Minnesota Wild, you could make a strong argument the Jets beat those teams in 4 or 5 games. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about the Stars and Blues, I think you could easily see a 6 or 7 game series. Now, I would still take the Jets over the Stars and the Blues. I just think those two teams, the way they've been playing the second half of the season, I think those are worst first round matchups for the Jets. And even though, you know, I think the Jets would tell you they don't really care who they play in the first round, just bring it on. They want home ice advantage. I just think, you know, the quality of hockey that the Stars and the Blues are playing right now, I think, you know, they would give the Jets a much tougher first round matchup.
When we come back, Sean Leahy from Pro Hockey Talk is going to join us. We'll look around the NHL at everything that's going on as we enter the final couple weeks of the regular season. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're part of Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets Game Day on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN 1290.ca.
A little past the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you in studio. We're part of Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets Game Day, the Jets and the Predators, 6 p.m. tonight, a game you can hear live, of course, on TSN Radio 1290. We've got the coverage starting at 2 o'clock, or pardon me, 3 o'clock with the afternoon ride, and then entering into the pregame show before puck drop at Bell MTS Place between these two Central Division rivals. We want to hear from you via Twitter. You can send us your tweets at Illegal Curve. You can send us your text messages. Send your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. And of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio is illegalcurve.com. From the NHL on NBC and Pro Hockey Talk, we're pleased to welcome to the program Sean Leahy. Sean, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing very well, Sean. How about yourself?
Great.
That's good. Obviously brought you on to take a look around the NHL, some of the great playoff races that are coming down to the wire over the final couple weeks. I want to start with the game earlier this week. It was a beauty between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Washington Capitals. You know, you look at those two teams, they met in the Eastern Conference Final this season. We know how good the Boston Bruins have been this year. You know, they'll likely face the Lightning in the second round of the Atlantic Division. The Lightning and the Capitals, they just seem to bring the best out of each other. Are the Capitals the team that maybe has the antidote for the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yeah, you know, I wrote about this, I think maybe last week, 2 weeks ago. I think of the teams in a playoff spot or have a chance to knock out the Lightning, I think the Capitals probably have the best shot. You know, they They did it last year. You know, they know the team inside and out. There just hasn't been too many big changes on either side since, outside of obviously the head coach for the Capitals. But the Lightning have been cruising all along the entire season. They really haven't faced too many hurdles throughout the regular season, and I don't see that happening the first round if they play like a Montreal or Carolina or Columbus either. So I could see them breezing right through the conference final and get maybe the Capitals there again. And certainly the Capitals, they've shown really no Stanley Cup hangover like many teams have been before, especially considering the way they celebrated in the summer. But yeah, Todd Reardon is there. He was there. He was in the meetings on how to beat the Lightning last year. And certainly the players on that team know, as strong as Tampa has been and is, I think the Capitals know, can use that confidence from last year, knowing that they're able to find weaknesses in that team and can beat them over the course of seven games.
You know, Sean, there's a couple of games early this afternoon with huge playoff implications. You've got the Arizona Coyotes at the New Jersey Devils, and then you've also got the New York Islanders facing the Philly Flyers. That game's coming up in just about an hour. And when you talk about the Islanders, they're sputtering a little bit. They lost their last game to the Montreal Canadiens 4-0. They've been playing 500 hockey as of late, and right now, they're not only in danger of falling out of second place in that Metro division, but they could actually fall out of third place and into a wild card spot. I mean, how important is that game this afternoon between the Islanders and Flyers? The Flyers are obviously, you know, clinging on to whatever playoff chances they have left. But what have you seen of the Islanders late? Look like they could win the Metro, but as I said, now they could be in danger of falling into that wild card spot.
Yeah, they haven't been what Barry Trotz likes to call Islander hockey. They haven't been that bear down defensive style, that really the Barry Trotz, you know, blueprint that he's done with the Capitals and Nashville before, that smothering defense and getting Tommy goals. I mean, they haven't scored in their last two games, getting shut out, and certainly not having Robin Lehner. He's been banged up, has hurt as well. And I think this kind of step back for the Islanders at this point in the season was almost inevitable, because there's no way Lehner and both Lehner and Greiss were going to be 930 goalies the rest of the season where they were like January or so. You knew they were kind of going to regress a little bit, and they're still, I think, probably pretty safe to be in the playoffs. Just like you said, it's just a matter of whether they get one of the spots in the Metro or a wild card. But you know, they have a decent schedule coming up, but some teams that are desperate for their own playoff lives, with Philly today, obviously, and Arizona coming up next, and then the big one with Columbus next week. So those are three big games where it's meaningful for both sides. But for the Islanders, yeah, they're pretty confident they're in the playoffs. It's just a matter of them getting back to their game, where that strong defensive play, that timely scoring. You know, they're not just getting goals from Matt Barzal and Anders Lee. They're getting 17, 18, 19 goals from guys like Casey Zizekas this year. You know, the depth guys have been chipping in all season long. So this is, I think, this is a big stretch. You know, these final seven, eight, nine games for them to get back to their game, heading to the first round with a little of momentum.
You know, Sean, just sticking with the Islanders here quickly. I mean, I think, you know, you would agree that, you know, this has been just a magical season for the Islanders. The expectations at the beginning of the season were really low, and Barry Trotz right now looks like he's a runaway favorite for the Jack Adams Trophy. But when you look at that first round, and there's a good chance that they play the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Washington Capitals in the first round, even if they're not 100% healthy, do you think they have a chance against either one of those teams?
Yeah, I think so, because I think just Barry Trotz won't let them stay out of this, you know, be in this funk for too long. He has a career of doing this with his teams, and I think the Islanders, a lot of their younger players, guys who haven't been in the playoffs before, have been getting some good experiences playing, you know, important games this year. Really, guys taking those next steps, and that, you know, a big loss not having Val Filppula as well. He's a guy who nobody expected him to play as well as he did this year. He was a huge piece for them. He's probably not going to be back until maybe the first round or just before the first round. So you're getting Pittsburgh. I think it's a matter of how you enter in the playoffs too. I mean, Pittsburgh kind of been up and down, a little bit better of late. But either of those matchups, I think their goaltending with Lehner, if he gets back healthy and back to his game, I can certainly see the Islanders being, you know, pretty dangerous to any team in the first two rounds or so.
Sean Leahy of NHL, and pardon me, NBCSports.com is our guest here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're part of Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets Game Day on TSN Radio 1290.
You know, Sean, Mike Babcock cleared the air about his depth comments and spoke about his relationship with GM Kyle Dubas. And, you know, obviously, we know that the media in Toronto is a little aggressive, and perhaps they're parsing words there. Do you think that was an instance too much being read into it, or do you think it's an example of a coach realizing that he was making very public comments about his GM and is now just trying to clean it up?
Well, it's Toronto, so I think it's definitely too much being looked into it, for sure. I mean, everything is obviously blowing up in that city no matter what happens. But, yeah, look, if the thing is, would this be as big of a story if the Leafs were winning? No, it wouldn't be. It would just be a blip on the radar. But the Leafs have not been playing as well as people expect, especially with, you know, getting John Tavares and the expectations in that city to finally, end their Stanley Cup drought, and they're heading into the playoffs where they're going to have the inevitable matchup against the Bruins, the annual first-round matchup against Boston every year. And the way the Bruins are playing, it looks like it could be a pretty short series for the Leafs. So this is a huge, huge part in the season for the Leafs to kind of get back to their game, get Freddie Anderson back to the level, the Vezina Trophy level that he was playing at earlier this season. Because you look at that roster, and it's hard to imagine you're playing this bad for so long. You figure with the amount of weapons on that team, even with the defense being so-so, and not having Jake Gardner as well, you figured they'd be playing a lot better, especially this time of year, but so be it. And, obviously Mike Babcock, this is the first year working with Kyle Dubas in that GM head coach relationship. And I'm sure he has his opinions on what the roster should look like compared to Kyle Dubas, but obviously Dubas is the boss and they work in tandem, but Dubas is the guy who makes those final decisions. And you'd like to have more depth. You'd like to be a team like Tampa, like Babcock, talked about yesterday, saying they're the model of having depth, on your roster. But you got to work within your salary cap parameters and what you have available to you in your system. And the Leafs are working with what they have, and Babcock's got to find a way to work with that. And so far through 74, 75 games, he's done that, and they're close to a 100-point season. It's just a matter of kind of getting their guys healthy and getting the team right and playing, because Boston is not going to be an easy fell in round one.
Sean Leahy is with NBCSports.com. Sean, really appreciate your time and insight. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care, Sean.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
You've been waiting all morning for it. It's time for our Saturday morning You Bet Your Jet Will Call You bonus play. If you texted You Bet and your phone number to 129090 this past week, we could be calling you right now. Stand by. We'll reach out to you to play You Bet Your Jet next on your radio home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Time for the You Bet Your Jet contest. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your name, sir?
Kevin.
Kevin, congratulations and welcome to You Bet Your Jet. Where are you calling from?
Calling from here in Winnipeg.
Here in Winnipeg. Kevin in Winnipeg. Already. That's nice and vague. We appreciate that kind of vague information.
Hold on, Kevin. Before we continue, you have to tell us what area.
Kevin might be in the witness protection program or something.
Southdale.
Kevin,
nice area.
In Southdale. Yes, we approve. Very good. Anyways, Kevin, congratulations. Earlier, you texted You Bet and your number to 129090. We just drew your name from all those who have texted in so far. And Kevin, simply for being our contestant tonight, you've won a legendary 10-inch spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza. Now it's time to put on our game face. Are you ready, Kevin?
You betcha.
Okay. Today on You Bet Your Jet, we are featuring members of the Winnipeg Jets third line. You have your choice of Brandon Tanev, Brian Little, or Adam Lowry?
Brian Little.
Brian Little. Okay. Kevin, we're going to begin with a skill testing question. If you get it right, you win a Winnipeg Jets prize pack and an old-time hockey knit scarf from our friends at Royal Sports. Here's the question, Kevin. We asked Brian Little, what emoji Do you use most when texting? Did he say that he uses the thumbs up or the grinning face with sweat?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say the thumbs up.
You're going with the thumbs up, Kevin. Alrighty. Let's go to the audio and find out what Brian Little said.
Brian Little here.
Wait,
I'm texting, what is my most used emoji? Thumbs up.
Kevin, you're correct.
Right on.
You seemed like you were trying to interrupt us for a second. Were you considering changing your answer?
Well, I was just thinking, like, with the emoji thing, that maybe the emoji didn't have the thumbs up, that it was just the thumbs up by itself. But then, anyway.
You got it. It wasn't a trick question.
No, you're good, Kevin.
You're good, Kevin. You, congratulations. You've won a Winnipeg Jets prize pack and an old-time hockey knit scarf from Royal Sports.
I like how seriously, though, Kevin is taking it. I mean, that prize pack is on the line.
Prize pack's on
the line.
He
just wants to make sure he has the right answer, so,
and now,
which he did.
And we're very happy for you, Kevin. And now you advance to the big cash round. We'll play a random highlight from this season. If Brian Little scores, you're going to be $1,000 wealthier. Are you ready, Kevin?
You betcha.
You got your fingers crossed?
Absolutely.
You got your toes crossed?
Yeah, I can't do that.
All righty, Kevin, let's roll it. It's here for $1,000 if Brian Little scores.
Cody Egan put it toward the line. Stopped by Morrissey. Now for Myers on the far side. Winnipeg gets some separation to the near side for Little. In the corner, back toward the line for Morrissey. Moving in, shooting! And he hit Fleury up top on the shoulder. Fleury made the save. Rebound goes right to Holden. And he rips it all the way down the ice.
Kevin, I'm sorry, not the $1,000 winner, but you are the recipient of a spicy pierogi pizza from our friends at Boston Pizza. That's just a great start to that. And then from our friends at Royal Sports, a winner of a Winnipeg Jets prize pack and an old-time hockey knit scarf from Royal Sports. Congratulations, Kevin.
Right on. Thank you very much.
Take
Looking
care.
Looking forward to that pizza. I haven't tried it yet.
Well, it's a good pizza. Let me tell you, I've had my share of spicy pierogi pizzas in my life, so it is a good pizza. So you'll enjoy that, and you'll enjoy the prize pack from our friends at Royal Sports.
Kevin, Drew's going to give you $100 out of his own money just for being a participant today.
Congratulations, Kevin. Stay tuned Monday morning, our next opportunity to play You Bet Your Jet. Be like Kevin in Southdale, a big winner this morning. We're always thrilled to participate and give away some prizes to good gentlemen.
I want to give away that $1,000 cash, though,
well,
Drew. Come on.
Fingers crossed. Maybe next week we'll be able to
Why
do it.
Why didn't you give Kevin $1,000?
I don't have $1,000 to give him out of my pocket, but, you know, keep listening to hear.
You give Dave $1,000.
Dave's got all the money. Let's be honest. We both know that. Dave is the one rolling in the shekels. Dave can give Kevin $1,000. But
Dave
Monday
M is independently wealthy. Yes, he does quite well.
Monday morning here on TSN 1290, your next opportunity for somebody to win $1,000. Let's talk about the Columbus Blue Jackets. Because as we know, they went all in at the trade deadline. They currently are all out of the Stanley Cup playoff race or playoff positions. They're a point behind the Montreal Canadiens. They've each played the same number of games, 8 games to go. The Blue Jackets went into Edmonton, usually a buy on the bingo card, and they absolutely laid an egg, losing 4-1 to the Edmonton Oilers.
Usually
that was
a what?
A free space on the bingo card.
I thought you said buy.
Well, I mean,
how about instead of talking about the Blue Jackets, we talk about Ken Hitchcock's comments about how his team is in the hearse, and right now it's just being driven up to the cemetery.
It's a great analogy.
I mean, those comments were so funny.
Hitch is the best.
I don't care if the Oilers are missing the playoffs. Hitch is the best.
They've been in a hearse driving to that cemetery for the last decade. It's a very far drive to get to that cemetery.
That hearse has been running for a while.
Yeah, let me tell you, that hearse goes straight to the NHL.
How is it not out of gas at this point?
It goes straight to the draft where they pick a first-round pick overall.
Yeah, where they somehow win the draft lottery again this coming season. That being said, the comments post-game from John Tortorella and then some of the players in the Blue Jackets locker room just seem like a team that's in absolute disarray. I mean, they still might make it. They're still in the running. But for a team that went all in at the deadline, and John Tortorella, this was his post-game quote, "We just have to have some sort of urgency to try and get back into this, or we have no chance. I just don't think we understand the level that we need to play at right now." That's John Tortorella talking about his team. Aaron Portzline reported of The Athletic. He reported that at least 2 Blue Jackets players said the team appeared panicked, unable to let loose and just play. When presented with that, Tortorella said, "I wish there was panic in the game, because then it would show some desperation. I don't agree with those players in that comment." I mean, off the rails in Columbus.
The problem is it's just a total team disconnect between the coach and the team. I mean, they just seem to be, you see different things. Players have to go out for dinner, clear the air. It just seems like ever since they've they've done this. And we see it a lot, right? When teams make moves of this nature, you have a tendency to potentially mix to really ruin the chemistry in the room because you're adding all these different pieces. So to me, it just seems like the coach is on a different page than his players. The players are on a different page from the coach, in addition to being on a different page from each other. I mean, it just seems like a mess. It seems like it was an experiment that they tried, and it just ultimately failed. So obviously, there's as you said to start, Drew, this is a team that's only 1 point back of Montreal, and it looked like Montreal might be down and out. And other than they've won their last two, and Columbus has lost their last two, so it's allowed them to leapfrog into that final wild card spot. But they're obviously not out of the playoffs. They've still got 8 games to go.
No, they're not out. You just mentioned it.
No, I know.
I'm
saying
it's 1 point, right? And this is kind of this was your worst fear if you were Jarmo Kekalainen, mm-hmm. right? Because you didn't trade Panarin or Bobrovsky, and as we talked about, you load up with Duchesne and Dzingel, and lesser degree, you picked up Adam McQuaid at the trade deadline, and you can get in you have just as good a chance as Montreal or Carolina. Carolina has the game in hand, as we talked about earlier, but Vancouver on Sunday, mm-hmm. I mean, you should beat the Canucks. The Canucks are out of it. Sure, the Canucks are a competitive team. Travis Green has done a nice job, keeping them in it at this point. But, then you've got the Islanders, and then you've got the Habs, teams that you're battling with. And then you've got the Predators, and then you've got the Sabres. So, I mean, you've got 3 tough games there.
Mm-hmm.
But, with 8 games left, this Eastern Conference playoff race is going to be absolutely fascinating. And we should mention that the Blue Jackets finished the season with a back-to-back against the Rangers and the Sens.
Well, that's not
it's not the toughest schedule, Drew. And you mentioned, the Blue Jackets lost their last game to the Oilers. They also lost to the Flames before that. But they also lost to the Oilers earlier in the month. But, this is a team that beat the Penguins earlier in the month. This is a team that beat the Boston Bruins earlier in the month. So, this team has a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They just can't seem to really get a streak together. They win one, lose two, win two. And at this point in the season, they're going to have to put together, 2 or 3 wins in a row, or they're not going to be able to separate themselves from the Habs or the Hurricanes because the Hurricanes and the Habs are playing some pretty decent hockey. I mean, they're not running away with it, but it's going to be really interesting to see because you have a desperate Hurricanes team mm-hmm. that hasn't made the playoffs in a long time. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jackets loaded up at the trade deadline. They've never won a playoff series. And as far as I'm concerned, the Habs, if they get in, they're just playing with house money because nobody expected anything out of the Habs. But the Blue Jackets are the one team that they really need to get into the playoffs, I think, more than the other two teams because they're going to lose Panarin, they're going to lose Bobrovsky, they might lose Duchesne.
Well, you mentioned that last game of the regular season, the back-to-back on the road at the Rangers and then at the Senators. I mean, how apropos would it be if the Blue Jackets need a win
in Ottawa
on the last game of the season and they aren't able to pull it off? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it would just John Tortorella's head would explode off his shoulders and all the Eugene Melnick bots would be doing a celebration dance.
What about Torts' job? I mean, I think Torts has done an admirable job, in the midst of all this controversy. But, is his job safe if they miss the playoffs?
I think it is because Jarmo Kekalainen seems like the kind of guy who is loyal to John Tortorella and doesn't, it's hard to point to lay this at the feet of the coach.
No, and I don't think it's all on Tortorella, but you look at, how he's handled the Bobrovsky situation. I mean, he hasn't handled that very well.
Peculiarly. Is that a word? Peculiarly?
In a peculiar fashion.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. In peculiar fashion. That would be better than trying to use a
tongue
twister.
You're peculiar. I'll say that much.
it's just the comments, the disconnect, it's just bizarre. And, you're absolutely right, though. They have to turn it around and quickly do so because, if they don't, then there's going to be a lot of fingers being pointed at what the cost of all these additions were.
Especially with all
for
those
the Blue
UFAs
Jackets.
That are going to be, they're going to be thinking to themselves, do they want to stick around for this?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, obviously, we're not talking about Panarin and Bobrovsky because it seems like it's a foregone conclusion that those two are gone. But, other players, are they going to want to stick around for this? And at this point, if you're Columbus, you've traded away a lot of your assets, not some of the prime, the grade A prospects, but you've given away some of your B prospects. And so from your perspective, if you're signing with Columbus, does Columbus have a lot? They made a run for it. They're making a run for it, I should say, this season. Maybe they're going for it. They went all in, as they would say. But, if you're looking at the long-term future of Columbus.
The irony of the whole thing is if they do get in, nobody's going to want to face them in the first round because they're dangerous. They have so much talent that I think they still have some, you know, if they're able to get in, it's, oh gosh, that's a pretty good team we're facing that just squeaked into the playoffs. The question is, you know, do they get in?
Then you look at Tampa's plus 100 goal differential.
Yeah, and you say it doesn't matter.
Which is just, honestly, I was just looking at the standings and I thought to myself, that's just monstrous. Plus 100 goal differential.
It's astounding.
Tampa Bay is just unbelievable.
They're not, I mean, you know, we've used all the adjectives we can use, and they're still not getting enough credit for what they're doing this season.
It's actually unbelievable.
When we come back, Matt Wellens of the Duluth News Tribune is going to join us. We'll talk about Jets prospect defenseman Dylan Samberg, and the University of Minnesota Duluth is into the finals. They'll go tonight, so we talk about that as well, the WCHC finals. A little bit of college hockey talk coming up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're part of Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN 1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you in studio. We're part of Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day, the Jets and the Predators tonight at Bell MTS Place, a game you can hear live, of course, on TSN 1290. The three-headed monster of Bayak, Edmonds and Munns with the call tonight. Quick note on the game tonight. There was a lot of talk that Cody McLeod was going to be into the Predators lineup. Does not seem as though that's actually the case. We jumped the gun on that. So Matt Hendricks in the Jets lineup, Cody McLeod not. So the expected fisticuffs between those two will have to wait for another day and time. We're pleased to be joined by Matt Wellens of the Duluth News Tribune. Matt covers the University of Minnesota Duluth. They are into the NCHC finals, college hockey finals, later on tonight. And, of course, Winnipeg Jets prospect defenseman Dylan Samberg is a member of Minnesota Duluth. Matt, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Last night, the Bulldogs won in the semifinals over the Denver Pioneers. They're into the Frozen Faceoff Championship later today. I guess start with that. You know, last night's semifinal game, I saw that I was following you on Twitter. It was a close game for a lot, and then Minnesota Duluth seemed to take over and get that three-goal victory. What do you expect? What happened last night, and then what are you expecting in tonight's final?
Yeah, I mean, that was basically a one-goal game again between the Bulldogs and Denver Pioneers, which is basically the MO for this rivalry the last 6 years. Denver pulled their goaltender with maybe a little over 2 minutes to go, and the Bulldogs were able to put in a pair of empty netters. That's usually the only way either of these two teams is able to pull ahead, with empty netters. It was just a tight, physical game, not a lot of time and space on the ice for either team to move. It's a game where you really have to be patient for both sides, and it looks like, and you know, the Bulldogs' patience won out. They got a key goal there in the opening minute of the third, and we had talked in the press box that this was probably a game where first goal wins, and sure enough, there was really good goaltending on both sides as well. The Bulldogs, Hunter Shepherd, he's a junior, he's a college free agent who made the rounds at NHL development camps last summer. He's continuing to have just a stellar season. He's a semifinalist for National Goaltender of the Year. Friday night, he was named the League Goaltender of the Year. He really starred in that game last night, and the Bulldogs are going to need him again tonight against, hands down, the top team in the country, St. Cloud State. They're just so balanced. They're so deep. I mean, they lost Ryan Poehling, the Montreal Canadiens star prospect, midway through the first period. He took a really scary hard hit into the boards, went head first, lost an edge. We're still waiting to see on what his status is. They'll probably make that a game time decision to see how he's doing, but they lose Ryan Poehling and they don't miss a beat. They just continue to pour it on against Colorado College. So Bulldogs need another big night from Hunter Shepherd if they're going to win the league title.
You know, just sticking with Hunter Shepherd, Matt, and you know, this is a guy who's undrafted right now in his third year with the University of Minnesota Duluth, and his numbers are absolutely dazzling. 1.89 goals against average. This is during the regular season, and a 916 save percentage, and that was preceded by a 1.91 goals against and a 925 save percentage last year. Is the expectation, and we also want to get to Dylan Sandberg and whether or not there's a chance that he might forego his third year of college hockey and maybe sign his first pro deal. I think we know what the answer to that might be, but is the expectation that Hunter Shepherd is going to sign a pro contract after this season is over?
Yeah, I kind of thought he was after last season, and then you talk to him and he hadn't really considered it. He didn't even have any representation, a family advisor, as they like to say at the college level here. Can't have agents. Family advisor, as I'm putting air quotes around that.
Yeah.
He didn't pick one up until, I believe, late in the summer. So I think he's going to have opportunities. No question. He'll have opportunities to sign after this season. Willie, I don't know. I mean, I had him on my podcast earlier this year, Bulldog Insider, which is over at DuluthNewsTribune.com. If you want to get to know Hunter Shepherd, go on iTunes or Google Play or any of those. Check out our Hunter Shepherd podcast. And it didn't sound like he was in any rush to go anywhere. He's a Minnesota boy. He's from Cohasset. Which is, people might be more familiar with Grand Rapids if you're familiar with Minnesota. He played for that high school. He doesn't seem in a rush to be Bolton, Minnesota. So maybe if the Wild have a spot for him, he might be open to it. But I kind of get the impression that he might be willing to come back. He's also a very modest guy. He's a perfectionist. He'll sit there and tell you that all the success he had is, you know, he could be better than he is, and then it's just because he's got great guys in front of him. So we'll see. He's an interesting one. I'm curious to see if he'll make the jump or not, or want to come back to college.
Well, Matt, as a Winnipeg-based show, of course, fans around here are going to be clamoring for news about Dylan Sandberg, the Jets' 2017 second-round pick. So how would you evaluate his season to date?
He's gotten a lot better. I think, like last year, you're seeing after the World, he comes back from the World Juniors, and he's just a much more confident player. It seems like that tournament has really helped boost his confidence a lot. Offensively, you're starting to see a lot more confidence from him, too. I really like Dylan Sandberg's shot. I wish he'd take it more. There was a couple times last night where I wish he could have fired off the one-timer, and he didn't. And I don't know if that was just his own hesitation, again, that patience we were talking about in that game, or if it was, Denver also was really, really good at closing down shooting lanes as well. They don't leave a lot of open lanes for their goaltenders. So, but offensively, man, his shot is good. He plays so well alongside Mikey Anderson as well. That's an LA Kings prospect. Both of those guys are players you wonder if they're going to come out. The one area of concern I have with Dylan is sometimes his puck handling on the blue line there, whether it's on the power play or 5-on-5. He had a turnover last night that resulted in a one-on-one breakaway, but, you know, Hunter Shepherd's back there, so no worries. But he's had a few of those this year. But again, he just continues to progress. It's that progression he makes, you know, from basically coming from high school right to college. He struggled in the first half and then goes to the World Juniors and just has a tremendous second half. You're seeing another big progression this year. I kind of feel at one point I thought maybe it was definite that Dylan Sandberg was coming out, and I'm still leaning towards that way, but I think he'll sign with the Jets. And if he progresses like he does at UMD, you could see him in the NHL next year. That's just the way the kid is. But I could also see him maybe coming back a year. He could gain a lot still, I think, from coming back a year. And then maybe not have to play as much in the AHL. I guess a lot of it depends too what the Jets have in front of them and who they like and who they don't like and such. It's a lot of variables, but, you know, if Dylan signed this offseason, I wouldn't be surprised.
Matt Wellens of the Duluth News Tribune is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're part of Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day. The Jets and the Predators tonight, a game you can hear live on TSN Radio 1290. Just sort of following up on that, Matt, is his game NHL ready, or does he need more seasoning, you think, at the AHL level if he decides to turn pro?
I think if he decides to turn pro after this year, he'd be starting in the AHL.
Okay, that's what I figured.
And that's something a lot of guys have to consider, you know. Now the question is how long he'll be in the AHL. It could be a half year. It could be a full year. It just depends how he would progress at that level. So I think, the pro of staying in college for Dylan is he can probably make himself more NHL ready. You know, the con would be that you're probably going to start in the AHL. But, you know, we've seen a lot of guys that you think they're, well, they're not NHL ready, and then midway through an AHL season, bam, there they are. You know, we look at a defense, you know, Dylan maybe reminds me a little bit of Neil Pionk, who played for UMD and is now with the New York Rangers. He signed after his sophomore year. And you're like, okay, that kid's going to have to start in the AHL. And you're unsure if he's going to crack the NHL that first year. Whereas if he had come back for his junior year, okay, he's for sure going to be NHL ready after that. And by the end of his rookie season, he was up with the Rangers. So there's a lot of variables for these kids to consider. I'm not envious of them at all. It's a tough decision for them to make.
Matt, we talked about Hunter Shepard earlier and how he's a Hobie Baker nominee this year, and I think a lot of people expect Cale Makar to win it. Quinn Hughes, Vancouver Canucks prospect, is also a nominee. But in your opinion, you follow college hockey just as much as anybody. Do you think it is ultimately going to be Cale Makar who wins the Hobie Baker?
Yeah, Shepard's not actually up for the Hobie Baker. It's for the National Goaltender of the Year, the Mike Richter Award. There's no goaltenders up for the Hobie Baker Award.
Oh, sorry. I thought Hunter Shepard was a nominee. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no. No goaltenders ended up for the Hobie this year. I was waiting to see if Shepard's name would pop up on there just because of how valuable he has been to the Bulldogs. But I think since they created this National Goaltender of the Year Award, the Mike Richter Award, maybe that's encouraged voters not to put him on the Hobie. But yeah, that's wide open. It's kind of been like that this year in college hockey. I mean, we remember when Jack Eichel was in college, and it was just hands down. There's your Hobie winner. There's your best player. It's just so open this year. I have a hard time ruling out Hughes. He's a pretty dang good player. He's a special talent. You know, I think he's the guy that I might actually give the edge to right now.
You know, Matt, there's a lot of players that are, when their college season are ending, they're now signing ATOs and professional contracts. Are there any players on this Minnesota Duluth team you see doing that after the season ends?
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at one of their senior captains, Parker McKay. He's in the mold of Carson Kuhlman. He was a big reason that was a big reason they won a national championship last year. He's been a strong leader, strong player for him this year. Carson Kuhlman signed right after that national championship, and he was able to crack the Bruins NHL roster this year, get called up late in the season. I think Parker McKay from Irma, Alberta, he's a guy that I think people should watch. And then there's some underclassmen on the Bulldogs rosters too. You know, we talked about Scott Perenovich, the St. Louis Blues prospect, and Mike Anderson and Dylan Sandberg, but there's also Nick Wolf, big, tall junior defenseman who potentially, you know, if the other three go, he maybe goes as well. So that's a guy to watch. And then another player that intrigues me is the Bulldogs center, Justin Richards. That's the son of Tampa Bay assistant Todd Richards. Justin Richards is another player that's grown leaps and bounds. He's a sophomore center, real mature, real solid two-way player who I think might get some looks. Reminds me a little bit of former Bulldog Adam Johnson, who signed after his sophomore year with the Pittsburgh Penguins and recently got called up. So there's a number of college free agents at UMD, and I think a lot of it will depend on the run that they go on here in the upcoming NCAA tournament that begins next week. You know, if this team's back in the Frozen Four and wins another national championship, that'll be two titles for these guys, and I think a lot of them will make the jump to the next level.
Matt Wellens covers the University of Minnesota Duluth for the Duluth News Tribune. He also covers college hockey in general. Matt, appreciate your time and insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care, Matt. When we come back, we discuss the gong shows in Edmonton and Ottawa. Another week, another set of PR disasters. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're part of Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets Game Day on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
You don't do a rebuild with a short-term view. You've got to have, and it's tough in sports, but you have to have a five-year outlook. And if you don't, all you're doing is patching up. And I know a team that you know that's done it for 53 years. They've been selling out. But all they do is they've been patching up. Finally, they collapse the team, say, we got to do a rebuild. But, you know, mistakes were made and somebody forgot about defense. So this next 6 months is going to be critical.
Ottawa Senators owner Eugene Melnyk is just the gift that keeps on giving.
Crazy.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, one final segment here on TSN Radio 1290. We're part of Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets Game Day. This segment brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors is final night in town. Been absolutely killing it all week long. Comedian CP is in town. And then next weekend, big concert series event with John Doerr. Very few tickets available for that one. They're almost all sold out. So if you want to see John Doerr, if you want to see Comedian CP, if you want to see any of the upcoming great acts at Rumors, get your tickets at RumorsComedyClub.com.
John Doerr, one of the best one-syllable first and last names out there.
Thank you.
Also remember the all-house team.
The all-house team. Okay, let's get back to Eugene Melnyk, who might not be playing with a full house. I'm not 100% sure at this point in time. Is there anybody in the face of the planet who would rather be a fan of the Ottawa Senators than the Toronto Maple Leafs right now? I mean, it's a rhetorical question.
What is Eugene Melnyk talking about?
Why is he going on radio?
This is one of the all-time worst seasons for any professional sports franchise. I mean, Ian Mendez is going to write a book about the 2018-19 season.
Yeah.
And by the way, Eugene Melnyk calling out Ian Mendez.
I like Ian Mendez's response, though. Do you see that?
So classy. Well,
yeah. I mean, Ian Mendez, good friend of the show. He's a regular guest on the big show. I mean, just Ian Mendez. I've never met him, but
he's a top-notch reporter.
I just know that he's a great guy. He's a top-notch reporter. He's been doing it for so long. And Melnyk has to be delusional. I mean, like, what is he talking about when he talks about the patchwork of the Leafs? The Leafs signed John Tavares. They traded for Jake Muzzin. And sure, maybe Muzzin hasn't turned out, you know, as well as they would like him to turn out. But that was a good trade, I thought, by Kyle Dubas.
There's nobody who would rather be a member of... nobody would choose the Ottawa Senators over the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. It's not even... they don't have the first-round pick!
Drew, when you said, is this the most embarrassing Ottawa Senators season, or as he said it, sorry, this is a team that lost 70 games in their inaugural season, and that's making it look like that would be a joy team to play on.
At least they tried. At least they didn't have drama around them. They were an expansion team.
I'm just talking about based on the fact that the off-season nonsense. And again, I get it. He's the owner. He's entitled to a certain level of control over the organization. But I mean, like... this is just ridiculous. Like, I mean, why are you going on ripping local reporters? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Eugene Melnyk should not be ripping anybody, period.
There's no...
I mean, he's not a well-liked guy in Ottawa. I was there
aside
last
from the,
year.
Aside why would from anybody...
Senators
the
fans do not like Eugene Melnyk. No, I mean, they
the
want a different owner.
The bots. The people on the fake accounts on Twitter that are pro Eugene Melnyk.
Why does that guy even speak publicly? Like, I'm not even joking.
Yeah. I have no idea. There's no way that Gary Bettman... behind the scenes, isn't doing everything in his power to try and get Eugene Melnyk to sell that team. Their arena deal collapsed. They're stuck out in Kanata for the next whoever knows how long, foreseeable future.
You say Kanata, Dave says Kanata.
Let's call the whole thing off. It's just astounding that he goes on and you're sure, you know, he said some okay things during that interview yesterday, talking about the rebuild and everything else, and that's fine.
But problem is it's not his purview to be talking about other teams, and that's
exactly
that to me is why he's crossing the line. Like,
why
again,
are you talking about the Leafs?
Well, like, don't talk about talk about your team. If you want to talk about your team, you're entitled to talk about your team all day, every day, and they can ask questions about it. And even if someone asks you a question, you say, you know what, that's another team. That's not really my concern. My focus is
there
the Ottawa Senators.
There's no question about it.
But I'm saying, even in the instance that he was asked about another team, you deflect and you
my focus is the Ottawa Senators.
Like, sorry, Dave, did Eugene Melnyk hear Bob Nicholson's comments and just say, okay, I got to say something more dumb.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Bob Nicholson's comments, who, and this will be quickly because we're right up against the clock. It's a battle between the Oilers and the Senators for who's more incompetent this week. He goes out and he...
but he at least apologized.
Yeah, he apologized, sure. And then and then Tobias Reeder's agent said, well, your comments are still ridiculous and inappropriate
tell
and everything
people
else.
What he said, just so they know.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go. He basically says that, you know, to paraphrase, that Tobias Reeder, you know, had zero goals this season for the Edmonton Oilers. He was brought in as an unrestricted free agent. He wanted to, this is the quote, Toby Reeder will not be signed by the Edmonton Oilers at the end of this year. Toby was a player that other teams wanted. He came here for 1 year because he wanted to play with Leon Draisaitl, who he plays with on the German national team. He thought if he wasn't playing with Leon, he'd be playing with Connor McDavid. He'd score 15 to 16 goals. And instead of making $2 million, he'd sign a four-year extension at $3.5 million. Toby Reeder hasn't scored a goal. Toby Reeder has missed so many breakaways. If Toby Reeder would have scored 10 or 12 goals, we'd probably be in the playoffs. Does anybody think that? Reeder had 20 goals, they weren't going to be in the playoffs.
First of all, you could think that. You don't say it.
It's amazing. Congratulations to the Senators and the Oilers. Next week, we'll decide which one's more incompetent this year.
They might do something different.
But it's a neck-and-neck battle. That's it for the Saturday morning edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN Radio 1290. A big thank you to all of our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Zappia Group Realty. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Of course, you can check out our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio. That's IllegalCurve.com. For Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manuk, for producer Sean Asor doing a great job behind the board, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks for listening to Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN 1290.ca.